So my name is Graham Goldbeck. I'm from company Sport Vision. We sponsor part of the Sabre Analytics Conference, the PitchFX Summit. Before that, let's get started a little bit. There's been a lot of published reports lately about the future of tracking technology and player tracking in MLBAM, and I just want to reiterate that we are still partners with MLBAM, and we foresee that going forward. We continue to invest in player tracking, pitch tracking, and a lot of the other tracking products you'll see later on today, and we expect that to continue throughout MLB, the minors, amateur. It's still our end goal to have your little six-year-old traveling team go throw, and we record his data, and you follow him up until he reaches the majors, and we have a standard data set for the kid. So with that, a little bit of background on the PitchFX Summit. This started in 2008 as a gathering of teams, academia, and the blogging community to present research with PitchFX data. This has been instrumental in the ideation of new sport vision products like HitFX, CommandFX, FieldFX, and then some of the other data you'll see later today. It's pretty amazing how many people have gone on to work for clubs after presenting the PitchFX Summit. To me, it almost seems I wrote a majority down here. And when I first wrote that, I thought that sounds ridiculous. But as I looked through the list of past summit presenters, I'm like, that guy works for this team. That guy works for this team. So for those of you looking to get into the field, especially if you want to work for an MLB club in the future, the PitchFX Summit is a great place to start. So we envision this continuing. Merging with Sabre going forward, so if anyone wants to present future summits, come talk to me afterwards. And then a little bit about ourselves, Sport Vision, one of the leaders in sport technology, a product that's seen in over 6,000 events, 2013 last year. We were voted by Fast Company as one of the world's 50 most innovative companies. About our baseball products in particular, we've tracked over 7 million pitches and hits since 2008. More than 75 systems deployed in ballparks spanning 5 countries. And we just started, well, as of a couple weeks ago, started tracking in the NPB in Japan. And we're really looking forward to our partnership there. We track baseballs in Korea, and we just are looking to span the globe and be tracking everywhere. In addition, we continue to develop cutting-edge technologies such as CommandFX, FieldFX, and what I'm calling right now BioFX for today's presentation, although I'm not super thrilled with that name, so we're also taking applications for that. And then a little bit about myself. Like I said, mentioned before, my name is Graham Goldbeck. I'm the manager of data analytics and operations at Sport Vision. Been there for about 3 years now. I myself have very poor biomechanics. Do not follow what I do today. I'll probably try and illustrate some of the points I'm making about angles and things like that by raising the lower my arm, but that's about the extent of how much I'm going to throw. And while I am very poor at biomechanics, I'm not this bad. Is this going to work? All right, hold on. This is a bad idea. So, again, I'm not a biomechanics expert, but as far as I know, I do throw a little better than Kevin Spacey. He probably acts a little better than me, and if you had some problems to solve, I would probably go to Frank Underwood before I go to myself. But I hope this is no spoilers for those of you who have not seen much House of Cards yet. All right, so moving on to our presentation today, introduction to in-game biomechanics data. So what are biomechanics? Sports biomechanics is a quantitative-based study and analysis of professional athletes and sports activities in general, according to Wikipedia, and I figure that's a pretty good source of knowing what things are. Traditionally, in most simple terms, biomechanics in baseball generally refers to the pitcher's delivery and the parts that go into it, and as well as the batter's swing, but I think it can apply to other parts of the field as well, like runners, fielders, catchers, anyone out there in the baseball field, you can measure their biomechanics. This is a picture I borrowed from the Texas A&M Department of Kinesiology, their biomechanics lab. This is, I think, what most people traditionally think of with biomechanics. It's a kind of a laboratory setting. You can see he's taped up with a lot of sensors. It's a very exact measurement. They go in cage and throw. And I think there are advantages and disadvantages to that. Like I said, there's very precise tracking, but sometimes, you know, This guy has a lot of sensors taped to him. Sometimes they put in a bodysuit with a lot of markers on them. I think it can be kind of cumbersome or irritating, I imagine. Like I said, I am not a pitcher, but if I had a bunch of stuff all over me, like I think it would be a little more difficult to throw as I would in a game. And in addition to that, you're not really seeing the whole game situation. You're generally throwing to a backstop or maybe just a catcher. And if you're swinging, you might be swinging off a tee. You don't really have that batter-pitcher confrontation that you do in a game. In addition, I'm just throwing that out there. It's probably not the same level of heart rate adrenaline. Say the guy's got the bases loaded and bomb the ninth and tie game. Like, I think the pitcher would feel different than if he was throwing a cage. At least that's how I feel. So that's traditional biomechanics measurement. So for today's presentation, this is the data we'll be using. All these points are measured in three dimensions in time, so you can tell the points relative to one another, and then relative to the characteristics of the pitch or the hit. So for the pitcher, we are looking at the location and time of the plant foot, the shoulder at release, elbow at release, and the hand at release of the throwing arm. And then for the batter, we have the hands at the point of contact, or where the bat is in the same, I guess, Y plane, you would call it the depth plane, if you swung and missed. Similarly, you have the tip of the bat in that same plane, so you can kind of just get an idea of where the bat is when the batter makes contact or misses the ball, and then the back and front foot. So this data right now is still kind of in the prototyping stage. We first wanted to prove out that this is something we could collect, and I think, as you'll see in the presentation, it looks like we are going down the right path, and we think we know what we're doing, but we're still figuring out exactly, you know, what additional data to capture, how often we need to sample the data, and especially with regards to how we're doing it, since this is all still in development, it's really highly preparatory right now. I'd love to go into it more in the future, but as of right now, I can't go into too much detail of like how we're collecting this data, but like I said, I think during the presentation, it kind of looks like we're down the right path. So for testing for this data, we were capturing data in September 2013, Major League Baseball at Oakland Stadium, and then in October in the Arizona Fall League in Mesa. So the sample of the data set, we do have a lot of pitchers, about 100-plus pitchers in this data set, and a handful of batters. At the first, we've been focusing more on the pitching aspect first, since I thought that was maybe the easier part, and then move on more to the batter part. Although in the future, we imagine the system being able to collect data on both the batter and the pitcher equally, and then also, as I said, possibly other players in the field as well. So the first point I wanted to cover, and in general, this presentation, like I said, the sample data set is kind of small, so I don't think I'm going to be unearthing anything revolutionary today. Like, I'm not going to solve the proper arm slot to throw so your pitcher's don't get injured or anything like that. This is more along the lines of, here's some of the data we collected. I think here are some of the interesting points and some of the trends we see pairing it up with other FX data. What are the type of things we can figure out going forward? It's kind of an open question to say, this is kind of where we see things going forward. So the first point of measurement, like I mentioned, we collected is the plant foot. So one of the things I thought was interesting was the plant foot is just how far do pitchers stride? How far they step from their plant foot from the back of the rubber. So in this case, we took the average of all the pitchers and just made a distribution here. In our sample, the stride length seems to range between 5 and 7 feet. So it's about a 2-foot gap between the longest and the shortest striders, the mean kind of right in the middle. See, it's fairly normal distribution, although it kind of skews maybe a bit to the right. You can see a little hump there. Just kind of speculating, like, could it be that more pitchers are taller in our data set than we normally distributed, possibly select sample for taller pitchers? So that could be a reason we see that. So the next thing I wanted to do was I paired the stride length data with the player data we collect, just the listed height and weight of all the players. And we can see, like, how tall a player is, or at least how tall we say a player is. And it's possible, I think, going forward with this system, you may be even to measure certain players, so we know actually how tall they might really be. Maybe, at least in the NBA, I know you exaggerate your height by a couple inches. It could be the same case here. But we can see there's not much of a correlation between pitcher height and stride length. It looks like some pitchers are shorter and they step farther out, and some pitchers are longer. And I guess this is probably just a product of how the pitcher has grown up and delivered his pitches years over years over years. So I don't know if it's necessarily you coach someone to step longer at this point, but I think it's kind of interesting data. And as a side note, up here, I don't think I have this laser pointer. Well, And the upper right corner, you can see Alex Meyer is very tall, and he kind of stands out from the rest of the group. He strides very far. And then something else I thought with plant foot is interesting is the consistency. You could use it to measure consistency for a given player. So for this player A, we captured a couple starts of his. So we have over a couple hundred pitches of data on him, and we can just show. So this is his plant foot in the I guess you call it the depth location. So the starts, you imagine you're seeing this from the sky view. So you're looking at the player down from like a top-down view. So you know where he plants, how far his stride is on average, and then also in the X direction, like how often does he hit his spot, I guess you'd say. As I understand it, it's pretty important to hit your spot on the plant foot. You want to make sure you're straight in line and you're always hitting the same spot. So for this pitcher, at least, I found where his average plant location was and then the average distance between any given point and that average like location, assuming the average location is where he wants to hit his spot. So the difference for this was about 2 inches. Again, since we don't have a ton of data yet, I don't really know. It's like, is this a good number? Is this a bad number? And to me, at least, it sounds pretty small to be able to plant your foot in the same spot every single time to within 2 inches. But maybe you need to be more exact. I know players are very repetitious, and this is possibly, maybe this isn't good enough. But I think with more data, we can start to figure out like how consistent is a player over time. So that's the kind of the plant foot. Next thing I wanted to measure was the shoulder at release. So this is clicking on, or this is finding the player's shoulder when he releases the ball. So one thing I thought would be interesting is you can measure, if you have the shoulder and you have the elbow and other parts of the body, you can start to measure like an angle. So kind of want to know, since speculative years, like interesting how to know pitchers' arm slots. So they throw a three-quarters, sidearm. There's a lot of talk about different pitchers throwing different styles. So I just want to kind of see in general what the distribution looks like to different arm slots. So in this case, part demonstration time, this is 0 degrees. It's got like your side armors. If you're throwing straight overhead, which I don't think anyone does, this is like 90 degrees and 45 in the middle. So from what we see here, the mean is about 30 degrees. This is, from what I've been reading, this is pretty much the three-quarters arm slot, which is probably the most common one in baseball. To suggest maybe that it'd be 45 degrees, the name kind of suggests three-quarters in between, but I think in reality it's more a product of your shoulder tilt is how you calculate arm slots. So the 30 degrees is about the three-quarter slot. And then, like I said, you notice on the end, down by the zero, there's a little hump in the distribution. Those are the side armors in our group. I imagine if you had a larger data set, that pump would probably still be there. This the way we capture data, there are probably more side armors there than maybe in some other parks, but I think you'd still see a little grouping there at the bottom. So one thing I thought, okay, say we have arm slot now, what are some of the things we can pair arm slot with to find out more interesting things about it? So I took some pitch effects data for these players, found all the vertical break on their curveballs, and see how does arm slot affect the break. Like, is if you throw more overhead, overhand, like, are you going to get more downward break on your ball than someone who throws sidearm that might get more tail on their ball? So again, you can see the data set is kind of sparse. There's not a ton of pitchers who threw curveballs in this sample. But there seems to be some small correlation, possibly, between where your arm slot is and how much vertical break you're going to ball. There's obviously going to be a lot more that goes into it, things like how much spin you can put on the ball, the speed, and things like that. But I think there's probably something here. Like I said, with more data, I think we could really drill down and figure out how, like, for example, if you want to explain, okay, this pitcher, his curveball breaks 12 inches vertically. Like, how much of that is just because he throws here and not here, and how much of it is just the spin deflection? Like, I think, especially with this data going forward, you kind of just, like, drill down further. Pitch effects started, we used to just have radar guns, and you know how fast a guy threw, and then we know how much the ball broke. Now we want to know why the ball broke that way. And I think with this data going forward, we're kind of going to get a better idea of, like, why. Just kind of keep drilling down further until there's, like, nothing left. The next data point what I was going to look at is the pitching elbow at release. So one thing similar to the arm angle of the shoulder, you can get an arm angle of the elbow when the pitcher is throwing. So I plotted that distribution side by side with the distribution from the arm slot, and it looks, they both look kind of similar-ish, like one looks a little shifted to the further. So then I was trying to figure out, are the two highly correlated? Like, do, say I know arm slot, do I know anything more about the pitcher from where the elbow angle is? So just comparing the two directly from each player, we can look and see they're pretty highly correlated. I don't think you're gaining much more. So if you have a certain arm slot from your shoulder angle, in general, those people generally have the same elbow slot for their angles for their elbow. So I don't think you're gaining much, at least from the elbow angle measurement in this case. So I think we can assume that if you know the arm slot, you may not necessarily need to know much about the elbow angle. So in that case, I wanted to think, all right, well, obviously the elbow is important to pitching. So what are some other things we can look at with regards to it? So from the same pitcher A we were looking at earlier, I sampled two games, and this is the average release height of the shoulder, and then the number of fastballs thrown as the game goes on. So we can see in the blue line, his elbow stays fairly low for the most part. You may see the trend line kind of goes downward a little bit, whereas in the second game, the elbow seems to drop quite a bit throughout the game. And I don't know if this is a result of the pitcher tiring or even trying something else as the game's going on. Again, this is kind of like, we see now that this data is here. It's kind of, now it's a goal to figure out what does this mean? And again, this be tiring? Is it starting affecting his other mechanics? Did he start pitching more poorly? This is only two games, but at least in this sample, the pitcher in game one, where his elbow was more level as the game went on, as opposed to game two, his game score for that second game was about 30 points higher than the other game. So again, that's only two games. You don't want to draw too many conclusions from it, but there could be something here, I think, going forward. So the next point I wanted to show was the hand at release. So you want to know, okay, just how far along is the pitcher's hand when he releases the ball? So this is kind of like your extension measurement, so to speak. Like, how far out in front of is he when he releases the ball? Like, where is he actually releasing the ball? So in this case, you can see the mean is about 5 feet 8 inches. So it's fairly normal. So I guess in general, that's about where pitchers are releasing the ball, and that kind of gels with other numbers I think I've seen in other publications about that number. So I wanted to then compare it to stride length, because obviously if the pitcher's stepping, he's generally releasing the ball probably somewhere in line with where he steps. So I wanted to plot the two, one on top of the other. And you can see that in general, the release point seems to be a little bit behind how far they step, at least in this sample, which I think kind of, again, I am not a pitcher, so when I was standing there like a couple days ago and doing this, and I was like, all right, if I step and throw, like, kind of look, and it's like, that looks about right. But that's not very scientific. So then I want to see, okay, we see two distributions like this. Are they similar to the other one? Are they highly correlated? So comparing for the pitchers, their average stride length and their average extension, and it looks somewhat related, at least in this sample. It's not as strong as the elbow angle, shoulder angle one. So it's hard to say exactly, you know, I'm sure it has something to do with it, but maybe certain pitchers' arms are just longer than other pitchers, so they're going to release the ball further just because their arms are longer. Even though they're two guys step the same amount, but one arm is longer by 2 inches, he's probably going to release a little further than the other guy. But it's something, again, we can, going forward, figure out exactly what we have and exactly what we're going to do. So those are some of the pitcher points I wanted to raise. Moving on to the batter, like I mentioned, we are collecting the bat data at the point of contact or in the same plane as the ball going forward. So one of the things I wanted to see pretty quickly was, like, okay, we have in three dimensions. It's kind of difficult to see in two dimensions, but so this is just the horizontal and vertical locations. This is kind of the traditional view you'd see if you're on game day or something, and the ball is coming at you. So this is from the catcher umpire perspective. So left-handed batters are going to be on the positive side of the axis, and right-handed batters on the negative. So we took two batters, two plays where they both contacted the ball, I paired it with some hit effects data and to see the result of the play. And so what we have graphed here is the arrow is pointing towards the tip of the bat, and then you imagine the bat, it's a pretty bad bat, but you can see where he contacted the ball along the bat, because again, we're getting the ball at the point of contact, so the Y dimension is the same, but the X and Z is different. So you can see where along the bat did he actually make contact with the ball. So for example, on the left here, this 70 mile per hour ground out, we can see the batter kind of hit it fairly high up in the bat. I wouldn't say that's anywhere near the sweet spot, and kind of seemed to get on top of it a bit, it appears. So I think that kind of results in the ground out we see, whereas in the next at bat, the batter hits it right, I'd say that's kind of right where you'd expect the sweet spot to be, kind of right on top of the ball, and he laced it for a 90 mile per hour line drive double. So I think, like I said, going forward, we can figure out, okay, you know, where along the bat did he make contact, and how does that result affect how hard the ball was hit, what direction it was hit, whether he was early or late. So similarly to this, we can know where he made contact along the bat, or maybe he didn't make contact along the bat, and we want to know why didn't he make contact when we swung at this pitch. So we took a couple more pitches, similarly measured the bat, and so this one's a little harder to explain. So this is now, like, say you're in the dugout, and you're looking straight at the side view of the batter. So it's kind of like the length of home plate, and then, like I said, like you're standing over here. This is perfect. So yeah, you guys are in the dugout. I'm like this. I'm swinging. So now you're looking at the bat like this way. So the first example here, this player was throwing a curveball, swung and missed, and you can see he kind of swung over it. Like I think he was probably expecting a fastball, or he thought it was something else, and he swung over it and missed it. Whereas in the second case, we have the player late on a fastball. Like the fastball just blew by him. He just swung either too late or just wasn't in a spot he expected, and he couldn't make contact with it. So I think by comparing the location of the ball and the bat in the same plane, we can start to figure out, you know, why a batter swung and missed at a given pitch. You can, right now we know that, okay, say he has a swinging strike rate, he misses, you know, 20% of the time he swings. Is that because he's constantly being tricked by the type of pitch he's seeing? And that's something we probably think we can maybe teach the guy, or is it just because he's not, the ball's not ending up where he expected, and that one's, I think, a little more harder to coach. Like I said, we're kind of just drilling down further to see what, you know, why things happen the way they do, and I think this data will help elucidate a lot of that. So going forward, where we see the future of this tracking, kind of the next steps for this type of project, looking at tracking the same point along multiple times of the pitch hit. Like I said, for now, we were only calculating certain things at release or when the player lands, things like that. We want to get more, say we follow the elbow when he comes set, the elbow at like as far back as he is, the elbow at release, and then like a follow through or something like that. Other questions we can answer with that is like, how quickly is the pitcher's time to plate? We know when he comes set, we know when he delivers the ball. Like, I think that'd be very useful to know how much of the, if he takes him 2 seconds to deliver the ball to plate, we don't assign so much of the blame of a stolen base to the catcher. In reality, the pitcher was just kind of slow. Similarly, if we sample the bat multiple times through a swing, I think we can start getting things like bat path, bat speed possibly to some degree, time in the zone. Since we know where the bat is in three dimensions, we'll know how long, you know, he's swinging, he's got that bat right. How long is the bat staying in that span over the middle of the plate? Is this longer for some players than others? And that's going to then result in more success. Those are, I think, the types of questions we can answer going forward. Who else, like I said, who else can we track to this level? Possibly catchers, base runners, knowing how far a guy got a lead off base, you know, when he's first step, things like that. And then this one I just threw out towards the end, like, could this system lead to literally measuring players? Do pitchers with longer arms enjoy more success? It's possible. Like, they probably, like I said, they release the ball closer to the plate, probably, if two guys of the same height, one guy's got longer arms than the other. Do pitchers with certain forearm characteristics, are they injured more often? I think these are type of things teams may already be doing measurements of some of their own players, but when you start collecting this data on a large sample on like a league-wide basis, and then also, like I said, going down to amateur and minor league level and you start following things from aging curves and career paths, like I think there's really kind of the future of player technology. And then just kind of a brief video clip of, like I said, where we see going forward with camera tracking is much higher frame rate cameras. This one I slowed down quite a bit, so this is sampling it. Also, pay attention to the coach here. Like, it's this was a home run the other day. It was probably, we didn't have pitch effects running at the game, but I'm guessing it was something like a 40 degree launch angle. It was just a straight like moonshot home run. But yeah, this is a very high frame rate camera. This particular one's going at 240 frames a second. I think I'm playing this at only 5x speed. Just to, if I played each frame each second, I think we'd be here all day. But I said this is kind of where we see going forward the video capture side of things. And yeah, so thanks to Saber for a great conference, and take some questions.
Well, you were showing the a lot of the things about the pitcher stopped at the release point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that would make sense if you're trying to evaluate what happens, the path of the ball, things of that nature. But that's only an incomplete picture of what might be relevant to injuries resulting from his motion. How much more data would that involve? I would imagine we're talking about terabytes of data just to get to the release point. How much more are you going to have to collect?
It's a good question. As I said, it's something we're kind of in the stages right now of figuring out how much data footprint this is going to be, the storage of this type of thing. At least from what I've seen, storage keeps getting cheaper and cheaper for the most part, so it's not as much of a big deal to store large amounts of video and information as it was before. So I think going forward, you know, it's more of a design issue than anything else. But I think, like you said, like, knowing the pitcher's follow-through and what he does afterwards could play a big effect. And I barely touched injuries at all during this presentation, but I think that's a huge source of potential information that can be gleaned from the system.
Hey, Graham. I know we'll talk later more about pitching biomechanics, but can you explain, two things. First of all, could you define or explain how you did arm slot from the shoulder? It's the angle between the shoulder and what?
So in this case, it's like the angle between, in this example, because of the data points I was collecting, is the angle between like the shoulder and, since we had the elbow, it's kind of just like this angle, I guess.
So the shoulder and elbow, basically the upper arm, to horizontal. Basically.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And my read of this is when you said pitchers have different extension for the same stride length. The other thing I think in my data what it's showing is it's the trunk tilt forward. So two pitchers for the same height, let's be right-handed, if they have more trunk tilt forward, that'll give more extension.
That's a very good point. Like, yeah, so that's, again, something, that's a type of data point we'd like to capture, and I think we can kind of do that for things like the, if you find the player's belt or something, some point that you know you can keep following throughout the course of the pitch, I think we measure that going forward.
Any ballpark estimate on the timeline?
That's kind of under wraps right now. We're still figuring this out going forward. We'd like to get this out as soon as possible, but there's still, it's like it's still being development work. It's something we see in the not too distant future. I guess the best I can say right now.
Are you going to be presenting acceleration of the arm, the shoulder, and the elbow as well?
Yeah, I think, like I said, one of the points I want to capture is we want to capture the same point along multiple points of the delivery. For this presentation, just the way it worked, we were only capturing things at one, at release or whatever. But if we had it following the arm, you know, from when the pitcher comes set to when he comes to his backswing to release to follow through, I think you can start generating things like acceleration.
Yeah, I was one of the presentations yesterday. Biomechanics, and I brought up the Mike Marshall theories, And I was wondering whether the kind of data you're collecting would be able to prove or disprove this theory.
My knowledge of Marshall's biomechanics stuff is a little rusty, so I'm not exactly sure how much of this it could prove out, but I would think it'd be able to, it may not prove or disprove right away, but at least kind of elucidate more of like, oh yeah, he may have been onto something or something like that.
Hi, Mike Belsich, University of Chicago. One of the questions that I heard bandied about recently was that, velocity is obviously something that's publicly available and people talk about a lot, but why is it important, for reaction time for the hitter? And so when you release the ball, does that have, if you're really far out in front, you can actually pitch slower and have a similar reaction time. And people were talking about it's hard to kind of get data and figure out how that works, and it seems like you can answer questions. What types of questions like that or otherwise do you get from teams saying, these are problems that we can't figure out? Obviously, a lot of it's confidential, but
right.
Just general categories. What are kind of areas that people are trying to dig in on with your data?
I know, like I said, you mentioned it's kind of confidential. It's even confidential to us sometimes. We have trouble figuring out, we know teams want something, but they don't necessarily want to tell us that something is, because if they do, then every other team's going to figure that out. So it's kind of a balancing act we have of figuring out what is exactly to give everyone. But I think just general injuries, that's what we hear a lot. I think this stuff can help with that a lot. Just that one in special is easy to understand because when a player's hurt, you're still paying him and he's not on the field and you're just losing all this value. So at least injuries, that's kind of one I can just say right off the bat.
Have you solicited from the medical community and the training community particular points that you're supposed to be measuring?
Since we haven't gone too far down that road yet, I mean, that's something we definitely want to incorporate. Especially, I would think they'd probably be a little more open to some teams and sharing what exactly is they're looking for, so that probably help a lot. As of right now, we haven't gone too far down that road yet, but once we start developing more, that's definitely going to be an important part of the community we want to incorporate.
You mentioned that you had some data on hitters' feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't put anything together. Like I said, the hitter sample size was fairly small, so I didn't want to, as opposed to the pitcher one, so I didn't want to make too many generalizations about like how wide a batter's stance is or how does he shift in the box depending on the count. Those are some of the type of things I can imagine going forward we'd like to know. But as of right now, like I said, the at least the sample size was small enough that I didn't really feel confident doing much with hitters' feet today.
You mentioned the traditional biomechanics at the beginning. Have you compared your data alongside traditional biomechanics, and what kind of error are you seeing right now?
Mm-hmm. We haven't gotten a chance to do that yet. Teams in general are fairly tight-lipped about the measurements they'd have for players. But we're thinking of other ways, other types of people who maybe aren't pitching for teams, we could go and compare it to like a lab, like Dr. Fleissig's lab or something, where we could compare the two side by side. But not gotten to that point yet.
Sometimes pitchers, when they're pitching, will switch to different areas of the rubber. They'll move to the left side or the right side. How does your system account for that when it's calculating release point, plant position, mm-hmm. et cetera?
Yeah, that's a good question. So that's one of the additional points we want to capture. Like I said, for now, we just got the plant foot, but I think if you had when the pitcher comes set, if you get both feet, you have the plant foot and then the foot he's leaving behind. Like I think that we'll kind of elucidate that point. But that's something that's easily, I think, collectible in the future. All right, I think that's it. Thanks for your time.